from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, we should love one another, love each other, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we could have life through him. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God, it is God's love for us. He sent his Son to die in our place to take away our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us that much, we also should love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made perfect in us.
I hear the pages rustling. There is an outline in the bulletin if you want to follow along this morning. That's great. I'm encouraged. Now, if you don't have anything to write with, oh well. Our fifth grade class had just gotten home from the day at the zoo. It had been such a perfect day, and I was in love. Some years later, I was informed that such love is only puppy love. But hey, it's real to the puppy. The bus trip to the zoo in the city was more excitement than a country boy like me could take. We held hands most of the way. I even got the nerve to put my arm around her shoulder once. But the other guys started teasing. Later, she and her best friend sang their own version of the song Johnny Angel to me, but my name was inserted in place of Johnny's. But now the telephone was ringing. My perfect day was ending with these devastating words. I no longer love you. Tommy is my boyfriend now. Unrequited love. Oh, what a hurt. One that I experienced two or three more times through the years. But how comforting to learn that when we love without being loved back, we are at least in one small way better able to understand the heart of God. And isn't that exactly what God experiences every day? He loves us so completely that he sent his Son to die for our sins. The pain he must feel when we do not love him in return. But regardless of our feelings for him, each of us can confidently proclaim, just as I am, God loves me. That's a short story from a book titled Rainbow of Hope by Billy and Janice Huey. Many of you, I'm sure, have experienced those types of relationships as you were growing up, maybe some puppy love yourselves. As we conclude this morning this examination of who Jesus really is, I want to share a few thoughts on what to me is the most glorious truth about the real Jesus. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that Israel made in the history, in their history as a people of God, which you could argue led to their downfall, was the desire to have an earthly or human king rule over them, rather than God. It was, in fact, a rejection of God. God told Samuel, you know, they're rejecting me, not you. In 1 Samuel 8, the first reason they gave for wanting an earthly king to rule over them was, according to verse 5, because Samuel was old, and his sons, who were to succeed Samuel, weren't righteous like Samuel was. So you can understand why Samuel thought they were rejecting him, but that really wasn't the real reason they wanted a human king. The real reason came out a few verses later in 1 Samuel 8, verse 20, when the people said, "We want a king so that we can be the same as the other nations." The people of God wanted to be like all the other nations, which is exactly what God did not want them to be. He chose them specifically to make them different than all the other nations, so that all the other nations would look at Israel and see how blessed they were, and thus, hey, we want to worship their God. And one of the reasons that God chose you is essentially the same reason he chose Israel. It was to bless you as his child in order that the people around you who you come into contact with would see how blessed your life is as a result of your relationship with God. And so my question, are the blessings of your relationship with God a testimony to others of how marvelous God is? Will people be attracted to your God by knowing you? Despite Samuel's objections, God gave them the king they wanted. And it didn't take long, for their plan to fail. The very first king, King Saul, was a good man, really, in the beginning, but ended up kind of going off the rails. And the problem of having human kings becomes evident as you read through some of the history of Israel, especially during the kings, period of the kings. When you read through the list of kings during that period, especially the divided kingdom, the vast majority of the kings who ruled over Judah and Israel had one descriptive phrase in common. And that phrase was, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, there were occasionally some good kings mixed in, like David and Solomon, Josiah and Hezekiah, to name a couple of them. But the vast majority were wicked, and they led the people astray. The wicked kings were mainly concerned about maintaining power and position, and these rulers weren't really all that concerned about obeying the law. In fact, the law kind of gets lost in this time period. And nor were they really concerned about looking out for the welfare of the people over which they ruled as much as they were about their own welfare, which is not how God rules. Jesus once told his disciples in Matthew 20:25 that in the world, rulers will lord it over their subjects, which means it's just that they will dominate them. An example of that recently in the news is the dictator of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro. I know a little bit about this because my son-in-law is from Venezuela. Under his regime, the people basically are starving. You've probably seen it in the news. There are not enough medical supplies. I read this the other day. There are not enough medical supplies to treat the sick. It's so bad that they reuse medical equipment, like they'll take a catheter out of one person and insert it into another. The inflation rate is 1,000,000%. 3 million people have already left the country. They're predicting another 2 million will leave this year. And several weeks ago, the opposition leader that our country and other countries support tried to bring some relief supplies, you may have seen it on the news, to these people, and Maduro blockaded the highways to stop it from being brought in. So when you think about human rulers, and as well as false gods, kind of like the gods of Greek mythology, you don't normally associate the word love with them. In Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew, he wrote, Aristotle stated bluntly, it would be eccentric for anyone to claim that he loved Zeus, or for that matter, that Zeus loved a human being. You know, there was only one goddess who represented love in Greek mythology. It was the goddess Diana. And, you know, there were all kinds of gods, sun gods, moon gods, fertility gods. And even with the fertility gods, it wasn't really about love. It was about reproduction. According to Yancey, a Muslim boy once told psychiatrist Robert Coles, Allah would tell the world, God is great, very great. He would make everyone believe in him. And if someone refused, he'd die. That's what would happen if Allah came here. So, you see, there really is no God like Jehovah God. What you read in the pages of the Bible in regard to God is completely different than all the other so-called gods that are described. And our Bible affirms, as you heard the reading of whom, that God is love. You know, that description of God is found twice in 1 John. I mean, God is actually the definition of love. And God didn't just write it and expect us to believe it. You know, he demonstrated his love by sending his one and only Son into the world to become a sacrifice for our sins. You know, as members of the church, many of you have heard that so many times, talking about God is love and how he loves you. You've heard it so many times over the years that, you know, you end up kind of just taking that for granted. It kind of loses its impact on us as we hear it over and over again. But in this idolatrous world, love is not associated with any of the other so-called gods. Love is not associated with Buddha, not associated with Allah, or any of the others. According to John's gospel, there is no greater act of love than when one lays down his life for someone. So God didn't just teach that. He didn't just have one of his apostles write that. He did it. And Scripture is filled with stories that describe God's love, you know, such as the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost son. You know, in fact, Jesus kind of typified the lost son himself. You know, he left his father and he went to a foreign country here, earth, spent everything he had, and then returned home through the cross. The difference was that he didn't do that as a disobedient or rebellious son. He did that as an obedient son. So basically, the whole Bible is really the story of God's love and the desire to save you. God's plan originally was to be in intimate fellowship with man. It began in the Garden of Eden, as God, Adam, and Eve spent time together in the garden. But once Adam and Eve disobeyed and sinned, God could no longer fellowship with them. But, you know, he wasn't about to give up. He implemented his plan, beginning with Abraham, and eventually included, of course, the Jews. And he called the Jewish nation to be his priestly people, a holy nation. He chose men to be priests, and he consecrated them, which means, of course, to make them holy, so that he could still have a relationship through them with the people he loved. He chose the Jewish nation, actually, also for the other sake, for the other nations of the world. You know, God chose them to be a light to the other nations of the world. He wasn't just seeking a relationship with the Jews. You know, he used the Jewish nation in an effort to have a relationship with all peoples, including the Jews, because God loves all people. Therefore, you and I should love all people as well. John wrote in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love to you. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that you could have life through him. And as was read a minute ago, that's what real love is. It's not your love for God. It's his love for you. He sent his Son to die in your place to take away your sins. And he did that so that he could have a relationship with you, not only now, but forever. Every day, millions of human beings are born into this world, and God begins pursuing them the day they're born. That's how much he loves you. And I think sometimes you can get so caught up in your problems that you forget that you're loved to such a depth that the Creator of the world willingly gave his life for you, willingly suffered nails being driven into his hands and feet, and a crown of thorns on his head for you. Novelist Reynolds Price explained it this way. He says it in the clearest voice we have, this sentence that mankind craves from stories. The maker of all things loves me wants me. In no other book our culture owns can we see a clearer graph of that need, he goes on. That tall, enormous, radiant arc, fragile creatures made by God's hand, hurled into space, then caught at last by a man who is in some ways like ourselves. I think I've shared this with you before. I witnessed my father's love one summer day. Our family was visiting some friends of theirs, of my parents, and we were out at their lake house at Piedmont Lake. And the kids were swimming in the water off the shore, and some of the parents were down there watching them, of course. And my sister walked up on the dock, and she really, to this day, still doesn't really can't swim. And she jumped off the dock into the water, and she didn't realize it was over her head. And so I'm kind of looking at what's going on, and she's kind of giving it this, trying to keep her head above water, and can't really, it's not doing very well. My dad looks at her and says, "Are you okay?" And she didn't say anything. She's trying to keep her head above water. And so my dad got up, ran right into the lake, grabbed her, and pulled her out. And he had all his clothes on, his wallet, everything was totally soaked. But it was just, to me, I watched the whole thing. It was a demonstration of just great love. Your Heavenly Father went far beyond that. See, the real Jesus is a God of love so deep, it's impossible to comprehend. Paul made that point to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. You know, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that we were still sinners. Christ died for us. We were his enemies, and he died for us. You know, we tend to get upset when we go out of our way to do something nice for someone and they don't acknowledge it. That's how we are as human beings. You know, the reason we get upset is because, you know, our motivations are a little bit selfish. We want others to recognize and acknowledge what we did because we want to be held in high esteem in the eyes of others. But how many times have you had unkind thoughts of someone who didn't acknowledge your gift to them? And so this is one of the reasons the Jews rejected Jesus. Isaiah pointed this out in chapter 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was so unlike them, you know, because he was so righteous, and he was so merciful, and he was so holy, and so loving. And the people, the general population loved him. And because of that, religious leaders didn't like him. You know, how ironic, how tragic. I'll probably go to my grave failing to understand how anyone could reject God and not love this God of love. Jesus healed thousands of people during his ministry. I mean, he brought people back from the dead. He fed people. He taught people the truth. He lived the perfect life. He lived a faithful life. His focus was totally on others. He didn't lord it over anyone. Instead, he was a servant to everyone. But apparently, that wasn't good enough for the leaders. The proper response to our God, the lover, is to love him back. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. You know why he throws that love your neighbor as yourself in there? It's because he not only loves you, but he loves your neighbor too. 2 Sundays ago when my daughter and son-in-law were here, Kim and I did the brave thing. We took our two little grandchildren to the Westerville Community Center to swim. And I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this. So, Kim is we didn't have the typical floaties that we normally, when we go to Florida and they visit, you know, we always have floaties on because they don't really know how to swim yet. And we didn't have that. So Kim is kind of hanging around my granddaughter, Carrington, and I'm kind of trying to stay near my son, my grandson, Weston, and he keeps going, "Don't follow me. What are you following me for? Quit following me." You know, I'm just... So I tried to keep a little distance from him, you know. We tried to stay in the shallow end, and, you know, we had a pretty good time. And at one point, my granddaughter Carrington says, Poppy, watch me. I'm going to go underwater. Watch me. So I'm about halfway between her, and I'm keeping an eye on Weston, who's over here, and trying to watch her. But Weston is headed away from me. And so I'm trying to watch her because I know she'll be disappointed if I'm not looking at her when she comes up out of the water. And so she finally came up out of the water, and I turned around, and I realized I am too far away from Weston, and he is headed to a deeper pool. He walked right out of the shallow water, walked across, and just jumped in the pool that was over his head. And I'm booking it as fast as I can. Fortunately, there was a lifeguard right above me. And she saw me coming, and I said, I pointed, and she jumped right in and grabbed him and pulled him out. Told you I was embarrassed to tell you that. He didn't know. He had no clue the water was over his head. I mean, he also had no fear. I mean, he just went over, jumped in. He really doesn't know how close he came to losing his life. Had it not been for the lifeguard, I would have grabbed him, but he would have swallowed a little bit of water. I wasn't that far away. I say that because there are a lot of people in this world that don't realize that they're in over their heads in this world because they don't know Jesus. And they need a lifeguard. And that's who Jesus wants to be. He wants to save you. He wants to save you from your sins. So don't let that be you. Be the one that comes to God. Be the one that comes to Jesus and allows him to save you. If you want to know who God really is, then just study the life of Jesus. That's and you'll learn who God really is. The real God is a God of unfailing love. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So make it your purpose in life to know Jesus as intimately as you possibly can and to be as much like Jesus as you possibly can so that other people will see how wonderful your God is, and they will want him for their God. Love unconditionally like he does. Love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if I haven't communicated that clearly enough, God loves you more than you'll ever understand and is eager to forgive you of all of your sins. He has exercised his patience for a very long time in the hope that you, if you haven't, will accept his love and mercy. God is ready today. He's ready and willing to forgive you today. He's ready to pull you out of the deep end and to save you from your sins so that you can live safely in eternity with him forever. So this morning, we encourage you to respond. Encourage you to respond to this God who loves you so deeply that you'll probably never truly comprehend it. But he's ready. But are you? If you've kind of walked away from this God who loves you so much, it's breaking his heart. I encourage you to come back. I encourage you to come back to God so that he can save you. This morning, we give you that opportunity as we stand and as we sing. You can come to the front as we sing. You can see us in the back. Either way, this God is waiting for you to come to him because he loves you so much. Let's stand and sing.